Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. Welcome to the work week, starting day one. Hope most of you had a great day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. What a great weekend. My middle son, Andrew, graduating from Iowa State. Really excited. Quick ceremony. They were doing it in waves with each different. His was business. They did all that. And then people, they had been doing one before we got there. And we got out of there right before it started raining. And I felt sorry for some of the groups that come after us. I know they moved some of them into Hilton that night, too. But congratulations to all the senior graduates out there. Welcome to the real world, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Sponsors, BetMGM. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, please use BetMGM. Download the app. Easy to use. Easy to gamble. But make sure you gamble responsibly. Please. Only be willing to gamble what you know you can lose, because that usually happens because they're really good at what they do. Another is Northwest Bank. And I'm clicking here. Hold on. Because they changed, because it was Small Business Week last week. And I hope you guys all did that over the weekend. Stop in and check with some small businesses. I know that our family did for Mother's Day. We stopped down at... My oldest Zach stopped down at Boz Prints and picked up Mom a framed Boz print of the Iowa State Fair, which if you ever have listened to my wife, she loves the State Fair more than everything, but hopefully me and the boys, but she really likes the fair. So it is time again, and we're talking about Ready to Roll. Finance your new car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or RV, or refinance from another financial institution, and you can receive up to 1% of your loan cash back, up to $250. You can apply online, just like you can open an account online. I hope you don't, though. I hope you go in, tell Northwest Bank Steen sent you, get to see how great the bank is, everything they have to offer, but even more, get to see how great the individual employees are that work there. They will make your life so easy and so much fun. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines, many locations across the state. Member FDIC. Read one here. My Built Bar. It is, let's see which one I want to read today. I'm going to do this one. Spring is in full bloom and summer is right around the corner. That means getting outside and doing your favorite activities. It also means you need a quick energy boost, and I have the perfect solution. Built Bar is a healthy protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, 9 delicious flavors. And my two favorites are salted caramel and peanut butter brownie. They are unbelievable taste. With 17 grams of protein and only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code CHAMP10 for 10% off your first order. Your taste buds will love you for it. If you want to check us out on Twitter, go to @SteenOnSports or @1700TheChamp. Facebook @1700TheChamp, and the website is 1700TheChamp.com. You can listen to the show live by clicking on the live microphone up in the right-hand corner. And you can listen to some podcasts. I'm working on getting Fridays done. I'm trying to learn this. Everybody that gives you lessons is so good at it. It looks so easy until you have to do it yourself. But I'm getting there. Got a lot of great feedback from our Mother's Day show on Friday, ranging from it was nice to hear different opinions on things. It was fun to hear Mom's opinions and know that they're the same opinion that I have. I heard a ton of that. So congrats to all the moms. They were awesome. We are going to do it again, and hopefully sooner rather than later. 4:20 today, Zach Steenblock's going to come in. We're going to talk the AT&T Byron Nelson is this weekend. A little sports betting on what is the last. Some teams have 3 games left. Some teams have four games left in the NBA, and they start playing games in the playoffs, so that'll be interesting. 4:40, Sean Bach. He has a lot of information out there. about the University of Iowa and recruits and recruiting and where it stands. You can tell I wrote down a number, and we'll talk to him about it. Iowa right now has two commits in from its 2022 schedule. And at this time last year for their 2021, they had 14. And I think it's COVID related. It's getting people on campus, getting them to be able to see and do things. So I think that'll pick up. Then at 5:20, here's the treat, everybody. You better get ready. I have Kevin O'Hare coming on. Coach O'Hare comes on here a lot of time. He's doing a little workout today, making sure somebody is ready to... she is heading to Colorado for USA Under-19 tryouts in Colorado. And that person happens to be Caitlin Clark. It'll be really nice to get to talk to her. We've spent a lot of time talking about Caitlin, and I've done interviews with her before and had them on the radio, and it'll be nice to get her on live radio. So look forward to that at 5:20. I know I am. Over the weekend, Mother's Day weekend, hope everybody had a great time. Hope all the moms had a great day. I know that my wife Jennifer enjoyed getting to see Andrew graduate. She had all of us up there together. We kind of, after everything was done, we kind of did a little pub crawl up in Ames just to spend time with some of Andrew's college roommates and the families, and it was a lot of fun. So hopefully everybody had a great weekend, because you all deserved. Jen and I got to go over and see Nana for a little bit yesterday. Nana, love you. Happy Mother's Day again. I watched a little bit of golf this weekend. Phil Mickelson, you know, shocked us all. He shot a 64 on Thursday, had the first round lead, and then shot in the mid-70s in every other round. Bryson DeChambeau didn't think he played well enough, so he left and flew home and had to fly back in on Saturday morning and end up finishing, I think he was in 10th. Tied for 9th. I'm sorry, I had it written down. Luka Doncic is one technical away from suspension. That's too bad for him. I don't know if anybody watched. DK Metcalf was running at the... U.S. Games. It was a sprint. It was a track and field weekend, and he was running in the 100 meters, and he finished tied for last in his heat, finished like, I don't know, 15 out of 20 some. I think they did three heats, so 7:21. Might have finished 15th out of 21. I thought he looked really good, but when you're running against guys that are like anywhere from 5'11 to... maybe 6 foot and weigh, you know, 170, 180 pounds, and you're 6'4 and you weigh 234. I thought he did great. He looked great. At least he went out and ran. That's what he kept saying, is that, hey, at least I'm going out there and I'm putting myself out there to see what it's like. Patriots are so far have more than over 50 for their voluntary off-season work. A lot of teams can't even get their guys to show up. We'll see if that's going to help the New England Patriots. The state of Alabama is having a hard time getting their citizens in their state to do vaccines. So who do you think they call? They didn't call Ghostbusters. They called Nick Saban. Nick Saban is all over the airwaves telling everybody they need to get their COVID vaccine. I don't know if you watched this weekend. Canelo Alvarez wins his boxing match. He beat the guy up pretty good. He's really fun to watch. Kind of got into a shouting match with another boxer afterwards who wants to get a shot at him. I don't think that's the way to go at it, but we'll see what happened. The Kansas City Chiefs let Eric Fisher walk away, and today the Indianapolis Colts picked him up. It's going to play him on the left side. If he's healthy, and it's a really must that he's healthy, he's a pretty good left tackle. He did a good job of protecting Patrick Mahomes. Not so much this year with being injured and everything, but we'll see what happens with the Colts. You know, they're trying to protect Carson Wentz. John Means for the Baltimore Orioles threw a no-hitter this weekend. That was pretty fun to watch his reaction and just how happy he was. I don't know if anybody watched, but Elon Musk was on SNL, and they did have a show, and it seemed like people liked him. I think it's kind of funny when you have, here's really funny. I like Saturday Night Live, not as much as I did when I watched it growing up or when I was younger. You know, it was different humor, different times. I understand that. They're probably more political than you should. You know, that's the thing that's hard to do, and a lot of people don't do it. They don't talk politics very often because, as you've seen during the election, you've seen all this time, it's 50-50 split. So if you're barking at somebody or making fun of somebody or showing hatred towards somebody, you're going to lose 50% of your audience because of doing that. So it's usually a good thing just to try to find common ground between the two. I just think it's funny that people on Saturday Night Live were not going to be on there because he makes too much money, but the typical person that's on Saturday Night Live makes a lot more money than the people that watch the show. So I don't know. It seemed kind of silly, but we'll see what happens. Here were the top 10 NFL quarterbacks preseason. And I think this is, I'm not so much that it's interesting, but it just, Patrick Mahomes was one. I think everybody can understand that. Aaron Rodgers was two. I think there's one that was a little low. Russell Wilson was three. Lamar Jackson's four. I think that's a little high for him. He still can't throw. I mean, I'm a Ravens fan. He still doesn't know how to throw the ball downfield. I don't care if he has weapons or doesn't have. I mean, you still should be able to hit an open man, and he has a hard time. Josh Allen was number five. Dak Prescott, number six. On a bad team, he threw for a lot of yards and then got hurt. That one's iffy. Matthew Stafford, I think Matthew Stafford may be the third, fourth, or fifth choice. If you were going right now for MVP, you take him on a Rams team that Jared Goff just didn't complete enough passes. With a highly capable quarterback, it could be fun to watch the LA Rams. Now that defense, instead of trying to hold a 1-point lead because they can't score, all they can do is kick field goals. Maybe now they'll score touchdowns and they may have a breakout year. They have Tom Brady at number eight. That's probably too low. Numbers wise, I mean, he did what he needed to do. I just think that's low. Justin Herbert, they have at number nine. That's probably for one season. He played well. You know, now you're going to see teams are going to have film. They're going to have 16 games of film on there and see what to do. Kyler Murray was number 10. I think he has a really good chance of moving up this year. You know, no Baker, no Matt Ryan, no David Carr, no Ryan Tannehill, no Kirk Cousins. I don't think Kirk Cousins should be in there. I would have put Baker in there in front of Justin Herbert. I would have put him there in front of Dak Prescott. Those guys got to win. You have to win games too. It's not just about this has always been my thing with Baker, and I don't know if you guys agree or not, so we'll find out. But when you've had some elite talent in the NFL, in any major sport, you've had elite talent on baseball teams, basketball teams, and crappy coaching, and none of those guys have ever done well. And then you bring somebody in that actually knows what they're doing, which the Cleveland Browns now have with Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry. They've now had three drafts, really good drafts. You know, the offense clicks better. They instead of trying to make Baker Mayfield fit into a round hole like a square peg, they said, okay, we're gonna let him do what he's good at, and we're gonna move him, we're gonna roll him, we're gonna run routes that he's comfortable with. And once you did that, it opened up the running game. I mean, everything just kind of clicked. I mean, they were an amazing play by a backup quarterback from the Kansas City Chiefs of doing some damage. Don't forget that, folks. I mean, it was they played Kansas City really tough. So I think Baker gets a little, and I think that's, you know, I'm going to say it again. It's because national media dislike to pick on it because it gives them likes. And trust me, they need them. They need likes. And that's why they do it. NFL schedule will be out on Wednesday. That's a big day for a lot of people because they plan what they're going to be doing. So that'll be interesting to see. Here's an interesting. So Jennifer Lopez Kind of breaks up with Alex Rodriguez, whatever. So where was she at this weekend? She was vacationing in Utah with Ben Affleck. I think Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez was, oh, man, that was early 2000s, maybe 2010. But they were seen together over the weekend in Utah. Interesting, interesting world that we live in. All right, when we come back, Zach Steenblok's going to come in. We're going to talk NBA. Four games left and where playoffs are going to be. We'll talk a little bit about the Kentucky Derby because we talked about it this weekend and a little bit about golf as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day.
It's Fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I know that I did, even though the weather wasn't the greatest. Had a great weekend. I got to see my middle son, Andrew, graduate from Iowa State. It was a lot of fun. Had Mother's Day with Jen Bear. Had dinner at OP. The boys and I celebrated Mother's Day by playing a quick 18 holes of golf on Sunday. It's the first time I've got to go out since I had surgery. So I enjoyed that. And she was just relaxing with Penny. So she was cool with that. It was probably the absolutely the wrong thing to do, but we did it anyway and had a good time. We'll just have to make sure that on Father's Day, she gets to do something with the boys as well. With that, I'm going to bring in Zach Steenblok. He is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. He's being brought to you by BetMGM. If you're doing sports betting in the state of Iowa, please download the app and use sport BetMGM sports app. Just gamble responsibly. Only be willing to gamble what you can afford to lose, because that happens a lot. Just remember that. But I want to thank BetMGM. Zach, how you doing, bub?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Nice day. Looks like it might rain a little bit, but we did have a good time golfing yesterday, though. But we did have fun with mom too. So we didn't think we were going to get to go golfing because the weather wasn't very nice in the morning, but it turned out to be really nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. Trying to get out tonight with Nate as well.
Oh, there you go.
Andrew left golf clubs in his car driving to Minnesota.
Oh, and my golf clubs too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Andrew. We love him dearly. Wow. Didn't even think about that. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so, a little Kentucky Derby talk, a surprise win for Bob Baffert, and then yesterday, we were probably like on the 17th hole, and you yelled, the horse didn't pass its drug test, and now Bob Baffert's coming up with every single reason you can think of to explain how that can't possibly happen, but the horse racing community has had some issues with this for a long time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you said yesterday, it's pretty unexpected that horse is going to win. I know it was 12-1, I think, but usually, you know, when you see those big races, the Kentucky Derby, Belmont, the favorite usually wins, and it's, you know, not weird to see his horse win at 12-1, but I guess now we kind of know why. And I saw on Twitter he was saying that this is just part of cancel culture, that people want me canceled and all this stuff, which I don't really believe, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
The cancel culture is usually the person doing it. The horse did not give himself a drug that was on the do not use list. So this is coming from somebody. Now, could it be that somebody wanted to snuck it in? I have no idea. As expensive and as much money as these guys have their horses and everything tied to it, I can't believe they left their horse alone for a second during the day. So that's pretty strange to me. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some future odds out there. I think that you and I, for baseball, I think we're in agreement that right now, even though the Dodgers aren't playing great, I still think they have the best team. It was kind of weird that the second most favored team to win the World Series is the Chicago White Sox. I thought that was kind of surprising. Nice young team, but I thought that was interesting. Houston was in there. St. Louis was in there. But, you know, it's early. We talked a little bit about that, too, that it's really early for baseball right now.
And, I mean, are they even a third into the season? The Dodgers have the best roster on paper. Their pitching staff is unreal. I mean, even their lineup, they haven't had Cody Bellinger in a while. I'm not sure if he's here right now on the team active or if he's still on the IR. But come the postseason, those guys have played in so many playoff games. And, I mean, they know what they're doing. They always say, you know, the Dodgers choke. But, I mean, they choked against a cheating Astros team, and they won during the COVID year, so was it really a win? And, I mean, if I was going to bet on them, I'd bet the Dodgers. There's still some, you know, sleeper teams. I like the Braves. They're really young. They're good. The White Sox, I mean, they have a good pitching staff. And like you said, they're young too. You know, maybe the Twins can squeak something out in the playoffs.
Yeah, boy, they're going to have to start winning. Now, they can get back into this race really quick. They play the White Sox like 9 times over the next 2 weeks. So that helps them get, you know, a little bit, might be able to get a little bit closer. But, yeah, they got to play. They just never, throughout this whole year, they have not had they have not had everybody on the same page. So when they get good hitting, they don't get good pitching. When they get great pitching, they don't get great hitting. So really interesting. So the NBA is down to, I think most teams have 3 games left. Some may have 4. You know, you're pretty well set in the Eastern Conference. It looks like the 76ers are going to get the 1 seed. The Nets are going to get the 2 seed, and the Bucks are going to get the 3. Then they're kind of bunched up there through 4, 5, and 6. And then you have the Celtics, the Hornets, the Wizards, and the Pacers are down there in those play-in games. I don't even think, you know, Chicago has a chance to get there, but they're 2 games back. They're actually 2.5 games back. So in the Western Conference, the Jazz have a 2-game lead on the Suns. So I think those are going to be the 1-2 seeds. The Clippers and the Nuggets are looking like they'll be 3-4. Right now, the Mavericks are 5 and the Trailblazers at 6, which leaves the Lakers, the Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Spurs in those playing games. So if it stays that way, the Lakers would play the Spurs, and then they'd have to, then they get moved up. You know, I don't know if I think you and I agree on this. I wouldn't want to play the Golden State Warriors in a 1-game take all.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's been kind of headlined on a lot of the sports talk shows. No one can guard Steph Curry right now, and all it takes is just to, I mean, he's hot right now, but all it takes to win a 5-game series or a 7-game series, I don't want to play them. He has experience. Golden State has always had that winning culture too. Do you think the Lakers are going to, you know, make a run? Because I know AD got hurt again, and LeBron is kind of back and forth. This might just be me being senile, but I don't really want the Lakers to go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I've just had a rough year with them, and I guess it could change. I mean, I would like to see. I mean, there's nobody. I mean, he's 1 of 5 or 6 that I'd want to see. You know, just to get to watch him play. You know, if he was just playing basketball and not doing any other stuff, I'd be perfectly fine. But sometimes he just, I don't know. He thinks he has more social control than he really does. But that's for another day. It's going to be hard, because the thing that the Lakers have a hard time doing, and they still have a lot of injuries. I mean, Anthony Davis came back last night and they beat Phoenix at home. If they'd have lost that game, they would have been stuck down there. They still can get out, but it's not going to be easy. You know, all it takes is for AD and LeBron. I mean, I don't think either one of them have played 10 games in a row. And, you know, you're not going to have, this is a condensed playoff structure too. So you're not going to have a bunch of rest nights, and you can't rest them during a game. So I, you know, they just haven't played a lot of basketball. And, you know, you look at the Utah Jazz, they haven't had an injury yet. So all those guys have been playing regular minutes the whole year. So it'll be interesting. I get it. But, I mean, there's some teams, I'm sorry, but I want to see Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. I just want to see him be him and just go. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week or the week before, just how underrated he's been. I saw a tweet last night that he's more likely to record a triple double than he is to make a basket on the floor, which is just kind of stat. The cool part about this year too is there's a lot of teams, not random teams, but there's a lot of teams that haven't really been in the playoff contention. I'm excited to see the Knicks play. Excited to see the Hornets play. Hoping they, I think they're going to get in the playoff
Yeah, I
or
think they're
whatever.
a lock to get in there. Yep.
And I mean, even the Jazz, right? They were in it last year, having a couple years, but their team is solid. And then I'm probably most excited to watch the Suns play. Talk about the upset of just the entire season.
Chris Paul. We've always said it. Chris Paul, whoever Chris Paul goes to is going to win something. Once again, I'm talking to Zach Steenblok. He is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. I was going through and looking at golf. So it's the AT&T Byron Nelson this weekend. That's a kind of a cool tournament. DJ is out, little knee soreness, and wants to get ready. The PGA Championships next weekend. And it they were Rory McIlroy won this weekend. I thought that was really cool. I'm a big Rory fan. I just like to watch him play golf.
Yeah, it's nice to see Rory just back in the swing of it. You know, you can tell he took a lot of time off during during COVID, and then, you know, he's just been at the top of his game for so long, and you know, it was kind of sad to see he's missing cuts. He's not making the putts he's usually making. He's not finding the fairway. I'm really hoping that we have the old Rory back in full form coming up in the PGA and just all the rest of the majors of the year. So I'm just excited to watch him, right? He was, you know, the guy that was kind of taking the storm after Tiger, kind of was going through some things, and he was the face of golf for a long time, and I think golf needs him back, right?
I do too. I totally believe that, and he has a bigger fan base now because you know he's fans of him over here. He's a big draw. So when they were talking about all this in wins, that was his 19th win on the PGA Tour since 2008. The next person, I mean, the person with the most wins from 2008 was DJ Dustin Johnson. He had 24. Tiger had 21. Rory had 19, Justin Thomas had 14, Jordan Spieth had 12, Phil Mickelson had 12, Bubba Watson had 12, and Jason Day had 12. And then on the side, they started putting these things out on the side about Tiger. And I started reading through these and I thought, "Oh my gosh, this stuff is crazy." So he's had over his career, he's had 82 wins. He's had 15 majors. He had a streak of 142 straight cuts. I mean, that's 7 years of cuts. I mean, I think that's a crazy number. This is the one that floored me. He has won 22% of his starts. Isn't that crazy? 22% of his starts he's won. Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yep, now I can hear you. There you go.
Yeah, that's amazing. I really wish I was, you know, older when the Tiger era was going on. You know, I watched it, you know, as much as I could when I was younger. But are we ever going to see a golfer like that again? I really hope so. But I think the competition is getting better now. Not saying that it wasn't good then, but this is just the era of everyone who grew up with watching Tiger. People are competitive. People want to play. They're going out of their way and playing golf instead of football, baseball, basketball. So he changed the game dramatically, even down the road now.
I totally agree with you, and he made people want to play. And so with his 82 wins, he's been runner-up 31 times. He's placed third 19 times, and 199 times he's been in the top 10. And he also won U.S. Amateur 3 times in a row. And he turned pro in 1996. I mean, it's just those numbers. No one's ever going to approach those numbers again. It's just nobody. I mean, he played golf all the time too. Now, a lot of these guys play a lot of golf, but they just don't. I mean, just there, Phil Mickelson, look how quickly you can fall off and be playing so well, then not be even in contention for a long time. And he shot a great opening round and then shot 3 rounds in the mid 70s.
it's a tough game, right? People say it's the easiest, hardest game ever.
It is, and that's the Byron Nelson is really fun, but having that PGA Championship 2 weeks from now, you know, we get our second major after COVID. Getting to watch golf on TV this weekend, I caught bits and pieces of it this weekend when we were kind of wandering around and having fans. Rory said, I won today because there were fans there. And I think that's a big deal for these guys.
You know, it really is. I even just hate watching it on TV when there's no one clapping or yelling. I never would have thought that we would have to even have the conversation about, man, I really miss fans. You know, going into 2020, watching all these sporting events and no fans there, it's aesthetically disgusting.
What it is, and even when we get to the NBA playoffs, I mean, you're not going to have full stadiums. You'll have full stadiums some places, which I find it difficult, you know, and that's it can happen state by state. But, you know, if you're playing the Dallas Mavericks, guess what? You're playing in front of a full house. You go play the New York Knicks, and you're not going to be in a full house. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's always nice, buddy. I appreciate you coming in, talking sports with me. Sorry that Andrew took off with all the golf clubs in his car. I didn't even think about taking those out today, so that's probably my fault too. But have a good night.
Yeah, friend. Oh well. You too. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Zach Steenblatt. That's just funny. I didn't even think about that. Oh well. All right, you're listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing sports your way every day. I got this next, Sean Bock. I have Sean Bock coming in. We're going to talk Iowa Hawkeyes right after.
You by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. My next guest, well, I should tell you that this is Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. And my next guest is being brought to you by Northwest Bay. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Walk in, tell them Steen sent you. See all the different things that they have for you. They have everything that you can need in one place, right there in West Des Moines or in Ankeny. You'll get to see just what kind of employees are there, and that's what makes their banking even that much better. Member FDIC with Northwest Bank. My next guest is Sean Bock. He is at SBock247. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steen. Cranked out a final today. Got one more tomorrow. Then I got one semester left of college. So
there you go.
It's kind of a weird time, but you know, it's kind of a weird time when it comes to coverage too, because it's May, like post NFL draft. Like, you know, there's some AAU basketball here and there, some football recruiting stuff, but it kind of feels like a dead, like, sort of time, honestly. So I'm kind of in a weird spot right now, but, you know, I can't complain.
I'm curious. So graduate in a year, what do you want to do?
So right now the plan is to stick with 24/7 in some capacity. Not sure if it's going to be Iowa, and not sure if it's going to stay in the Midwest. I really don't know at this point. It's kind of all up in the air.
Well, that's okay, though. But it's so one semester left. Good for you. That's you've been up there during a pretty good time. I mean, that's had a really good time up there. So with all the sports, one of the people that were mentioned this weekend, and we had a graduation up at Iowa State. But as always, somebody, we're talking Iowa State, no matter what. And it was somebody from the Dowling family, and they asked me about Gavin Williams, and I'm like, I think Gavin Williams has been really impressive, and I think the Iowa coaches are pretty, I don't think surprised is the right word. I just think they're, maybe they didn't think that he was going to gel so quickly, and be able to get some carries, and I think he's going to get some carries. What do you think?
Yeah, I would definitely say the staff is pleased. From what I've heard, he's kind of the second guy behind Tyler Goodson, and Goodson's going to handle a majority of the carries this year. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, as we've seen in the past, Iowa kind of has that 1-2 punch when it comes to running back. I mean, you look at it a couple of years ago, or last year with Tyler Goodson, Mekhi Sargent, and the year before that, they had three running backs with Sargent, Goodson, and Torin Young. So, you know, it's going to be that 1-2 punch sort of thing. And with Ivory Kelly Martin's sideline with an injury, I think he's expected to return around July, August. That really gave Gavin an opportunity to step up and, you know, be that guy. And him and LaShawn Williams, who is kind of the third guy right now, have really competed well. Both came in together in the 2020 class. And those guys have really made an impact behind Goodson. But I think Williams is going to be the guy. I mean, you saw him at Dowling Catholic this senior year. He was kind of a thicker build, it seems. And he was kind of like that his freshman year as well. But he still kind of has that stature a bit. But from what I've heard and what I've seen on the football field, he's lost some of that pounds. He's kind of more back to his old self a little bit, kind of like he was at Southeast Polk as a junior, where he was more of a speedy back, kind of a balanced sort of guy rather than power, can find the holes, can run outside the tackles, can run sweeps, can really make plays with his speed. And, you know, you saw some of that at Dowling, but I think it was more of kind of that traditional power back in a way. And you saw that last year, too. I think he had 8 carries in limited action last year, and we saw him in the open spring practice. He had a touchdown, I think it was about like 17 or 18 yards, was able to find a hole and get to the second level and run in for scoring. Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of depends on what we see from Ivory Kelly Martin when he gets back, because that's going to be a big question mark. I think Ivory Kelly Martin is probably the second most dynamic running back in the room when healthy behind Goodson, but it's a big question mark. You never really know what an ACL injury is going to do to a guy's lateral quickness, a guy's ability to, you know, make a guy miss. And that's one of Ivory Kelly Martin's big skill sets. And with that injury, there's just a lot of uncertainty with how he's really going to come back, recover fully.
I agree with that. We're talking to Sean Bach. He is at SBach247. I agree with Gavin too. I think he missed a track season. And with that, with the transfer from Southeast Polk to Dowling, you know, I think he got a little bigger, and because he was a speed back. He was fun to watch in track. I think you're getting the best there too. Just locally again, I know that I think the defensive line coach is ready for John Wagner to kind of use all that athletic ability that he has to really dominate on the defensive line this year. Hopefully. I think he had a pretty good spring practice, so maybe he can get, you know, just have a really good year. I think John's worked really hard, and there's just been a really good defensive line, room during his time there.
Yeah, he's going to be – this is his time to step up. I know he was a heavily touted recruit coming out of Dowling. You know, didn't really blow a lot of people away with his senior year film. I remember that being a big talking point with him, and obviously playing behind guys like Chauncey Golston, AJ Epinesa, the Nelsons, you know, to name a few, and Zach Van Valkenburg, and now this is his time to step up. I think that defensive end position on the opposite side of Van Valkenburg seemed really interesting with Wagner and Joe Evans, because I think John can be kind of that early down guy. Well, Evans, as we've seen in the past, is able to use that speed maybe as like sort of a NASCAR package and rush the quarterback. Well, Wagner, I think, does a really good job of, yes, getting to the quarterback, but I think he does a really good job of containing the edge and not allowing those big gains and allowing the opposing running backs to get to that second level. I think that's a really impressive trait of his, but also I think he's got a decent rush package that he can boast and be a potential really kind of a, I don't want to say breakout guy, but I think a guy that I think will surprise a lot of people this year, kind of, you know, live up to the expectations that he had at one point.
When you're talking about recruiting, this has been a really weird recruiting 2 years, actually. You know, we were talking around, we had a Mother's Day show on Friday, and then we kind of went out and had a couple of beers and was talking about everything that happened. You know, you could have seniors could come back, and it was just, it messed recruiting up, and it's going to be probably a year before it catches back up. Iowa on their 2022 recruiting class, do you think they're pretty comfortable that they're going to have the same kind of class what they had last year heading into that?
That's very, you know, I haven't thought too much about that, honestly. That's a very good Very good point. But I think in terms of scholarships, I think you always find a way to get maybe 16, 18, 20 guys in the class. I think this year might be looking more towards 16 or 18. And I think one of the things that benefits Iowa here is that, you know, you have a certain amount. I think they have like maybe 18 or 22, could be more, prospects going on official visits to Iowa City in June, scheduled to take official visits. And you have camps this year too. And I think they only took one defensive back, scholarship defensive back, in the 2021 cycle, and Cooper DeJean out of ONBCIG. But in 2020, most of their defensive back offers were camp guys. So you're going to have guys that you can offer in camp, and you get guys that you can see in person, which would be a huge benefit. I think that was a couple of the guys in 2020 as well were like that. But I think when it comes to this class, I don't know if you're going to have the star power that maybe you had. I don't think it's going to be as top-heavy as it was in the 2021 class. I mean, I think you had 7 or 8 four-stars and 2 All-Americans and David Davikoff, an offensive lineman, and DeJean, a safety. But, I mean, you have 1 All-American in Aaron Graves, the defensive end out of Southeast Valley near Ames, who is going to come in, and I think, to play either inside or outside on the defensive line. But outside of him, I know Iowa's got their eyes on a couple of pretty top-tier targets, but none really like the force. I don't really think it's going to be as dominant as that top-heavy as that class, and guys that, you know, can maybe come in and make an early impact. But I think there's going to be solid numbers across the board, and guys that maybe will take a year or two to really develop before they can compete for maybe a backup job or something like that, or even a starting job.
Once again, we're talking to Sean Bach. He's at SBach247. Iowa Hawkeye baseball team. We got about a minute left. They have three series remaining, and they're very, very important to get them to be able to play a little extra baseball. I think they're peaking at the right time. I think they got the right opponents coming to play, so hopefully they can make that stride and make it. That would make us all feel good.
Yeah, I think going into the weekend, I saw that they were one of the last couple teams into the NCAA tournament. And while they didn't get the win on the 8th against Penn State, they were able to get the first two and take home the series. So now they got Illinois coming up, Northwestern, who I know struggled, and Michigan State to close out the year. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, Steve, I think there's reason for optimism with the back half of the schedule. I think if they can win all three of those series, at least take 2 out of 3 in all of them, I think they got a pretty good shot of potentially making the NCAA tournament.
I'm with you. I think they got the better schedule than some other teams did. Sean, thanks, buddy. Yep. Always love talking to you. Hockey Always team. Love talking Hawkeyes, my friend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye. Sean Bach talking Iowa Hawkeyes. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I got the top of the hour segment right after the break.